Take your Bible this morning, if you will. Let's go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read one verse here. I want to preach to you another message in the series about living in the dark. Living in the dark, all right? And I hope that the messages that I've preached to you have been an encouragement rather than causing you to want to run and hide in a cave somewhere, because I don't think that's what we're supposed to do, all right? Don't believe that at all. Romans 13, if you will, verse 12, the Bible said, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." And that's the night of this old world. The day is the day of the Lord, the day of His return. "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Let us put on the armor of light. I've said to you, this is the fourth message I've brought in this series. I've said we're living in dark days. I mean dark days spiritually. I'm not talking about economically or politically, and you can feel however you want to about those things, but spiritually, I guarantee you we're living in dark days. The devil has turned up his activities a great deal, and sadly, it seems to me so many Christians have pretty much stepped to the side and quit living like God's even real, all right? And boy, I think that's the wrong thing to do. And look, friend, when you're living in the dark, light becomes priceless. Just nothing like light when you're living in the dark. And at the same time, I preach to you, you need to be careful where you put your foot. Because you're living in the dark, you need to be sure you put your foot in the right place so you don't trip and fall, stumble. And your eyes need to be wide open for the enemy and the tactics and all the trouble that he can bring our way and he will bring our way. You need to keep those eyes open. But honestly, I believe the greatest thing we must do when living in the dark is turn on the light. Turn on the light. Paul said it this way. He said, "Put on the armor of light." The armor of light. Hey, the time of darkness is not the time to dim the light or hide the light, shade the light, or lower the light. No, sir, not at all. When darkness lies deep, you turn on the spotlight, the searchlight, the stoplight, and every other light you can get going, all right? You get them out there, all right? You just want them to be there. You want that light to shine in darkness. In this day of spiritual darkness, hey, it's not time for the church or the child of God to back up, back down, or back away. Not at all. Hey, the truth of the matter is time to lift up our Savior. It's time to lift up our voice like a prophet. It's time to proclaim the truth, preach the Scripture, and praise the Lord. I believe that. Hey, we're not to be overcome with the darkness, all right? We're not to be overcome with this darkness. We're to turn on the light. You say, well, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do it? Just a few things this morning, and I'll be finished when you can take me to lunch, all right? You don't have to do that. Number one, lift up the one who is light. Our Savior said, "I am the light of the world." I am the light of the world. We're to lift him up. But you know, the first thing I want to say under that is you can't lift him up if you don't know him. You can't lift him up if you don't know him. Different people are here. I don't know how well you know the different people that are here. I'll take Brother Chester over here. If you don't know Brother Chester, you can't brag on Brother Chester. You say, well, what's there to brag about? Well, it depends on what you know about him, all right? You can't lift him up if you don't know him, all right? You ever been to some place where they introduce somebody? I've been in places where they would introduce somebody, and the guy that was introduced said, "Almost didn't recognize myself there," and all that flowery words, you know? We lift up people. Well, wait a minute. You can't lift up. We can't brag on Brother Chester if you don't know him. What would you say? Well, there he is. He's got some hair on his head, on his lip, and on his chin. There he is, all right? Well, that's not lifting him up. You'd have to know something about him, okay? Listen, you can't lift up the Lord Jesus Christ unless you know him. Unless you know him. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, unless you've been born again. I mean, you've been born again and you know you have. You know you've put your faith and your trust in him. You can't lift him up. By the way, I think it goes beyond that. How much of a relationship do you have with him? Hey, I can tell you all kinds of good things about Lance Mosley. I know that guy. I've known him all his life. I can tell you some bad things about him too. But not going to, because he's known me all his life. He can tell you some bad things about me. Well, I tell you what. I've known the Lord Jesus Christ for almost 60 years. I don't know anything bad about him. All of my experience with him has been good. Every bit of it. Hey, but you can't lift him up if you don't know him. Listen, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's where it has to start. You have to know him. Then if you can, there's a verse in the Bible that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, some of you, if you're old enough to remember, and you've been around here long enough to remember my mom. I remember when Dad or somebody would ask, hey, somebody stand and quote a verse of Scripture, maybe a testimony. And my mom would invariably get up and say, well, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, she would tell you, I can't remember exactly where it says it, but I know it says it. And by the way, it does say it. It says it in Psalms 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Bless the Lord, you and I ought to speak up for the one who went to Calvary, took our sins in his own body in that tree, took the penalty that I deserve, the penalty that you deserve, and freely offers to you salvation. Hey, he became sin for us. We ought to let the world know who we're trusting today. We ought to stand for him. Man, they interview all these people, you know. We're in some difficult times, you know, in our country, in our nation, and things are struggling and there's problems and all that. And they interview people and they'll tell you, well, it's this guy's fault or it's that guy's fault, or if we'd put that one in, it'd change everything. All of that said, I just want to tell you this. The thing we ought to concentrate on is letting people know about how good God is and what he'll do for you if we just let people know about him, all right? We're to lift up the one. Why? Because it's dark, so we ought to lift up the one that's light, okay? Lift him up in front of the world. Put him out there front and center. Put him in that place, all right? Hey, you may not know the answer for every problem and every trouble that folks have in this day, but you can at least point him to the one who does know the answer. Hey, you can point him to Calvary. You can point people to Christ. I don't have the answer, but I'll tell you this. If you'd take my Savior, you'd find the answer. You'd get a lot of your troubles ended. Hey, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about lifting up the one who is light. Let's lift him up. Lift him up. What do you sing during the week? Do you sing? I find myself singing or whistling all the time. You know, and I want to be whistling something that's good. I want to be singing something that's good. I don't go around through life singing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I don't do that. No, I mean, what's the purpose, okay? I'd rather sing the great songs of the faith. I'd like to sing just a good old gospel song, and that's the kind of stuff I listen to. Why? Because that's what I want up here. I don't want the garbage out there in the world. Every bit of music nowadays has been affected by rock music. They talk about country music awards. I go, well, there's no country music nowadays. Country music was the great speckled bird and the Wabash cannonball, all right? That's country music, all right? And, that's country. Man, what's out there now, there's not country music. It's rock music sung by somebody wearing a cowboy hat and ripped up jeans, all right? Man, what in the world's wrong with us? Why you want to sing that kind of junk? Boy, let's sing the song that lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as that lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Oh, man, isn't that better? Isn't that better than all the garbage that's out there? I can't think of any. I have no idea what's popular today. None whatsoever. Never listened to it. Don't know it. And even the what I do remember I could give you of a garbage country song, so-called, it's from 20 or 30 years ago, all right? So I don't listen to it, don't pay any attention to it. Why? I don't want to fill my mind with that junk. Why do you want to do that? Oh, mercy. Hey, when it's dark, lift up the one who is light. Lift up the one who is dark. Not only that, but lift up the word that is light. Lift up the word that is light. Can I tell you this? The world doesn't need to hear the sayings of Confucius. The world doesn't need to hear those things out of the little red book by Chairman Mao. What the world needs to hear is this book right here. We need to lift it up. Psalms 119:105, very well-known verse, says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the word that's light. Take your Bible, look in Proverbs chapter 6, would you? Proverbs chapter 6, won't you just see this verse? We're talking about lifting up the word that is light. It's not what Chairman Mao says, and it's not what any political leader says. It's not what some philosopher says, Cicero or Cato or Plato or Pluto, either one, all right? Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 6 and look in verse 23, would you? Proverbs 6, verse 23. Here's what the Bible says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. There it is, right there. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. He said, what book are you talking about? I'm talking about this book right here. This one right here, the one I've got in my hand. It has the light to take care of the darkness of this world. This book's got the light for the darkness of the world in which we live today. We live in a time of darkness. What do we need? Well, we need the light of the Word of God, all right? That's what we need. If the world would heed this book, it wouldn't be dark. Let me say that one more time. If the world would heed this book, it wouldn't be dark. It wouldn't be dark. We'd just give heed to what God says. Just give heed to what God said. The reason there's darkness and the darkness gets darker all the time is because more and more we've decided as a world and as a culture, as a nation, to shove this book over to the side and ignore what it says. Do away with it. And people decide, oh, it's just an old book, just a bunch of old men said some things a long time ago. Oh, no, no, this is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. God spoke through men, and God used men. He inspired them to write what we've got right here. But it's not man's word. It's God's word. And this is the book, boy, if we'd just take it and lift up that book, this light. Hey, read it. Read it. Memorize it. Memorize it. Just memorize it. I can't memorize stuff. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. I have no idea how many songs I know. Have no idea. Years ago, I used to listen to some other stuff besides just gospel music nowadays. And by the way, when I say I listen to gospel music, that is a very narrow part of what passes for gospel music today. And there's a lot of stuff out there called gospel I don't listen to. But that very narrow view of it. And I know tons of songs, but it's amazing to me. I can hear a song that I've not heard in years and years and years, and I can find myself singing the words. Right along with it. Why? Well, I learned it a long time ago. Say, well, I can't remember the Bible. Well, put it to a tune. Make up a tune. There's verses we read, all right? There's verses that we sing. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, I think it is. Yeah, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Man, we taught the teenagers, of course, consent thou not, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Put it to a tune. You say, well, I'm not good at tunes. Make one up. You say, well, I sing off key. Make up an off key tune. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Memorize that book. Get it in you. And then refer to it. Refer to it often. Quote it. Publish it. But one thing I'll tell you to do, never, never apologize for it. Never apologize for what this book says. Man, the world condemns it, and there's a lot of people in this whole world look down on. I'm going to tell you this, I never apologize for what this book says, ever. I don't care if I was talking to the PhD of all PhDs. Doesn't matter to me. This book's true, and I'm not going to apologize for it. And by the way, if you ever get to the point where you think it's not, one day you'll be confirmed in the fact you were wrong, and it's right. It is right. Hey, in this day of darkness, lift up the one who is light and lift up the word that is light. Just lift it up. But there's something else you can do, all right? Keep yourself in the light. Keep yourself in the light. Boy, I can't overemphasize how important this is, that you keep yourself in the light. So many of God's people get into trouble because they stray off into darkness. Hey, you hear me? How they do it? They get away from this. You say, what do you mean by keeping yourself in the light? Isaiah chapter 2. Would you look there with me, all right? Isaiah chapter 2. I had somebody tell me before I preached this morning that I go too fast. So I'll slow down a little bit. I'll give you time to find the scripture. Isaiah chapter 2, all right? Isaiah chapter 2. It's easy to find Isaiah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Isaiah comes after that. It's after Psalms and Proverbs, all right? You get over there a little further. You get to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2. Are you there? Look at verse 5. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Keep yourself in the light. The light of the Lord. You say, well, I don't know what that is. It's in the light of this book, okay? Didn't you remember what I quoted to you, Psalms 119, 105? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're going to keep yourself in the light of the Lord, you got to stay in the light of his book. The light of his word. The light of his person. Hey, I'm going to stick as close to him as I can possibly get, all right? I'm just going to build my relationship with him. Why? I want to be in the light of the Lord. The light of the Lord. Our desire ought to be like that of Paul when he told us in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. That I may know him. I'm amazed at the things people want to be an authority on today. We want to know all the statistics of a ball team. We want to be able to tell you all of that. And want to be able to run down this or that and know all those things. Wonderful. But man, I want to tell you, I want to know him. I want to know him. I just want to know him. I was asked one time to do a funeral service for an individual I did not know and had never met. And they asked me to preach the funeral. And you said, preacher, how do you do that? Well, you preach to the people that are there. And you preach them the Bible. But people got up and talked about the individual that I did not know. And I thought as they were speaking, I wish I'd have known him. I believe I would enjoy just being around somebody like that person was. I believe it'd be enjoyable. I watch some stuff on YouTube and you said, why? Because it makes me sleepy and I go to sleep, all right? So I get to bed and I'll turn on the TV and go to YouTube, and there's this one fellow that I watch. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You'll go look him up and think I'm weird. Just okay if you just go ahead and think I'm weird, all right? But he's an old country boy, and he's fishing, and he the other night I watched him, he's shooting squirrels, but he cooked them and ate them. Now, some of y'all go, ooh, well, I'll tell you, I go, yum, all right? Man, he showed that he made gravy, and he cooked those squirrels up and poured that gravy over biscuits. I thought, I could enjoy knowing that guy right there, all right? I believe it'd be fun to know him. But wait a minute. I'll tell you who I want to know more than I want to know anybody else. I want to know that one who gave his life for me. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to build a relationship with him. Why? So I can keep myself in the light. I don't want to be in the dark. I want to be in the light. I want that relationship with him. I want to walk that path, all right, in the light of the Lord. That's what I want to do. I want to keep myself there. Not only that, go back to Proverbs chapter 4, would you? Proverbs chapter 4. Look at one more verse here, talking about keep yourself in the light. Proverbs chapter 4, look down at verse 18, would you? The Bible says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just. Hey, you want to keep yourself in the light? Stay in the right path. Stay in the right path. That's pretty simple, huh? Stay in the right path. Stay in the one that's lit up. Stay in the one that's lit up. So how to get lit up? The Word of God. God Himself. That's how it got lit. That back there during the Exodus, God said to the nation of Israel, I'll take care of you. I'll be a pillar of fire by night. I'll keep the path lit. When it's dark, don't worry. You can just follow the light. I'll have the light there. Hey, keep yourself in the light. Keep yourself in the light in this day of darkness. The fourth thing I want you to see is keep your own light fired up bright. Keep your own light fired up bright. Now, I told you, first of all, that if you're going to turn on the light, you need to lift up the one who is light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But later on, he turned it around, looked at his disciples, and he said, ye are the light of the world. He said, that's you. You're the light of the world. Now, how are you keeping your light? Do you keep it fired up? The first time I ever went to youth camp, I was 10 years old. We're talking a long time ago. Down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Had a little guy, 4'4" tall. Little Bill Kingston was his name. Bill Kingston was a preacher, but he was a singer. My, could he sing. He was a little fella, but God put a big voice in him. But he led the singing for us. He led the singing at camp and that week. And We learned a chorus. I still remember it. It said, fire up, Christian, fire up. Keep the fire burning in your soul. Fire up. Then it did it again. Fire up, Christian, fire up. Keep the fire burning in your soul. And he'd hold it out and he'd cut it off and he'd say, fire up. So what was he trying to do? Hey, he wanted to put us on fire. Why? So we can let our light shine. You ought to let your light shine, boy, and you can't do it unless you got it fired up. You need to keep that fire burning in your soul. It needs to be there. You said, how do I do it? Man, stay close to the fire. Stay close to the fire so you don't get cold. That means you stay in the house of God. I've never met a Christian yet who was a good Christian who didn't faithfully go to church. Unless they were absolutely unable to go. But I've seen some people that knew what it was to walk with God when they could not walk and could not get out of the bed. But man, they knew what it was to be close to God, close to Him. But I tell you what, If you can get up and get around, and you do get up and get around, and you don't get around the church, you don't stay on fire. You just don't stay fired up. Hey, we talked about reading your Bible. Why? That'll kind of keep that fire going. I don't know about you, but I can sit down, I'll be reading the Bible, and just reading along there, and all of a sudden my attention will be caught by a passage, and man, it just burst into flame. How the blessing, how exciting it is to see that truth. And boy, it just does it. Hey, how do you keep that fire going? Go to Sunday school. Go to Sunday school. Go to church on Sunday night. I should have brought it. I got a paper this week in the mail, and it had in it an old poem that I've seen, and basically it's "Not on Sunday Night" is the name of it. I'll read it for you sometime. But it basically goes like this. You know, I'm looking forward to the Lord to come and everything. It's on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. You know, why? Too busy. Oh, listen, keep the fire lit. Keep your own fire burning for God. Stay close to that fire so you stay on fire for God. You get something. You say, "Preacher, why do you tell us read the Bible so you can keep your fire lit? Why do you say read that sword of the Lord so you can keep your fire lit?" You can keep your fire lit. I try to teach guys how to preach. That's what homiletics is in Bible college. I teach homiletics and try to teach them how to preach. And one of the things I tell them to do is you ought to read. One of the greatest things you can do is read the biographies of great Christians. People that God, because it stirs your soul. Man, it's like reading the biographies in the Bible. It stirs your soul. Man, when I read about David and what he did, and I read about him taking on Goliath, man, that stirs me up. I'd like to have been there and see that day. Hey, there's a few giants. I'd like to put a rock between their eyes. Man, I want to be stirred like that. You keep that fire lit in you. Keep your own fire really fired up bright. Next thing, Luke chapter 11, to keep that fire bright and to keep your light really burning bright for God, there's something you need to do, all right? Luke chapter 11, I want you to look down at verse 35, would you? Luke chapter 11, look at verse 35. Luke chapter 11, verse 35, that's right after Luke chapter 10, okay? Luke chapter 11, verse 35. You there with me? All right. The Bible said, "Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness." Be not darkness. So how am I going to keep that from happening? I'll tell you, you got to stay clean. Got to stay clean. My brother and I used to, before either one of us were married, we still had money in those days. And we were young, and we'd pool our resources, and we'd take a vacation together. And we'd take off for a couple of weeks, and we went out west, and if we could find a road that was supposed to be scenic, we'd drive it. And if somebody would suggest we go see a place, we'd go see it. We had no real schedule to keep, and we were just, man, we were young and having a good time, and we took our camper. Is a 1972 Ford LTD. It would sleep two, one in the front seat, one in the back seat. And we got tired of camping, we'd get a motel room, all right? So, but we'd go out, and well, we were traveling across there, and I'll never forget it. Normally we didn't drive at night, but we were driving, and we flipped on the lights, and man, the lights were terrible. You couldn't see nothing. You couldn't see anything, even with the lights on. And we got out and stopped and went around there and looked at the lights. Well, there wasn't anything wrong with the light except it was nasty. We had driven through this amazing flock of bugs, and they were splattered all over that lights, okay, where you couldn't see anymore. They were just nasty. It was filthy. Once we cleaned them, guess what? You could see. The light would shine. Hey, your light won't shine if your life is nasty. Your life is filled with the filth of this old world and the filth of sin. Your light doesn't shine too good. Hey, can I just tell you this? It's really hard for you to be a witness for God and tell people about Christ when they've heard the most extreme profanity and vulgarity coming out of your mouth. How in the world is somebody going to listen to you? How are they going to listen to that? Hey, you got to keep your own light clean. Well, preacher, I got mad. Well, that's why God did two things for you. He gave you teeth and lips. You keep your teeth together and your lips together. I don't care what you say. People can't hear it. People can't hear it. And if you keep your lips together and your teeth together, your tongue lays in a pool of spit. And if you keep it shut long enough, it'll cool it off and you won't be spitting out that garbage. Hey, keep it clean. Keep your life clean. Keep your life clean. Light doesn't shine too good if your life's not clean. And that's just one example. There's a multitude of other ones. I think you know if your life, you know what your sin problem is. You know what you struggle with. The preacher doesn't have to name it. The Holy Spirit's already put his finger in your life. He's put his finger on it. You know what the problem is. You just need to deal with it, all right? You can't keep your own light fired up bright if your life is dirty by sin. Hey, take every opportunity you have to let your light shine. Every opportunity. Live the life of an example of a believer. Hey, the Bible said we're to be an example of the believer. And word and faith and purity, all of those things, would it be an example? You're to live it. You're to live it. You get a light out, a flashlight. You flip it on. You show it around, all right? Well, hey, your life is to be that light. Just live the light, the example of a believer. Be what you ought to be, all right? Be what you ought to be. Just here I am. I'm an example. People watch your life and say, there it is, they're shining for the Lord. They're shining for the Lord. I've told you about giving my grandkids flashlights. There's one kid, one thing every kid does with a flashlight. Every kid does with a flashlight. Turn it on, and where do they shine it? Right in your eyes. Every one of them, I'm flipping on, there it is. You know, right there. They want to put it there. Hey, You don't have to shove it down somebody's throat, but you can let your light shine as an example of a believer for the Lord Jesus Christ in every opportunity. Hey, look for an opening to witness of God's goodness. Look for an opportunity to witness of God's goodness to you. To you. Hadn't he been good to you? My soul. This, to give that opportunity. Isn't it amazing how quick we are to mumble and grumble? Man, just gripe and bellyache. Me too. Hey, this last week I had 2 days of misery. Misery. But you know what? There are 7 days in a week. 2 of them were miserable. 5 of them weren't bad. They weren't bad. But what do we talk about? Let me tell you about that hour I spent in agony. What about all those hours you were doing good, all right? All of that, man, God's heaped his goodness upon you, and he's blessed you, and people say, how you doing? Oh, man, I got lumbago. Come on! Testify to the goodness of God. Hey, leap at the chance to witness to other people about how they can know the Savior you know. Don't run from it. Look for those opportunities. When you see one, jump on it. Jump on it. Just say, hey, let me tell you about what God did for me. Let me tell you about how he saved my soul. Let me just tell you about how he did that. Hey, can I wind it up and say, remember that you're a Christian before you react? Could I say that one more time? Remember, you're a Christian before you react to what somebody else does. Okay? You said, what do you mean? I mean, you know, down there at Walmart. Or pick any other store you want to be at, okay? Wherever you're at, any place you want to be, you just pick that old spot and just think about how tough it is, you know? Somebody cuts you off. If you get so lucky as to actually have a human being to check you out, you know? And they tell you, man, you say, no, the price on that is this. You said, no. And they say, no, it's this. Well, no, the sign said it was. Now, be careful. Watch how you react. Watch how you react. Hey, I can't determine a lot of things, but I can determine how I react to things. We get in trouble because we react, because we get mad. And we lose it. You say, what? Everything. Especially our Christianity. Does your Bible not say, be ye kind one to another? Oh, but that's just at church. I'm pretty sure that's just at church. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that verse is just at church. Well, that's just with other believers. You can mistreat them lost people. No, you better not. No, you better not. Hey, all I'm saying to you is, remember where the point is? Remember, we're talking about keeping your own light fired up real bright. We dim it when we react. We dim it when we react to people when we shouldn't, and in a wrong way. Oh, listen to me, my friend. We live in a dark world. Best thing you and I can do is turn on the light. Turn on the light. But first, you got to have that light. You've got to have that light in you. That means you got to be born again. Have you been? Can you trace it back? You remember when you got saved? Remember where it was? Remember where you were? When it was? Oh, not the date on the calendar. I don't remember the date on the calendar. But I remember I was a 9-year-old boy. I was down at First Baptist Church, Tice, Florida, Sunday night, sitting in the back, about as far back as Lauren is right there. And my dad was preaching, have no idea what he preached. No idea what he preached. Why? Because the Holy Spirit conviction was so strong on me. I mean, I'd been dealing with it for several weeks. God's dealing with me. I knew I was lost, needed to get saved. Man, I'm glad that night I finally stepped out, got down the aisle. I trusted Christ as my Savior. Hey, got the light in me. You have that light in you? Are you keeping yourself in the light? In the light? Are you staying where you ought to be? Is your light shining? Or have you let it dim? Have you let it dim? Hey, can I say, turn on the light. Turn on the light. This old dark world needs it. Needs it. Jesus Christ said, you're the light of the world. Said, we don't take a light and hide it under a bushel. We put it out there on a candlestick. We teach the kids in Sunday school to sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'll be honest, I think the verse I like the most is, let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Oh, wait a minute, preacher, it's getting dark. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Hey, your light shining. You let it get dim. Have you got too much dirt on the light? What about you? What about you? Listen, you need to do some business with God today. Whoa, the light needs to be turned on. We need turned on bright. Turned on bright. Can't do it if you don't have the light. Can't do it if the light's dirty. Can't do that if you're not in the light. What do you need to do this morning? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Thank God that Paul said we're to put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. Listen, my friend, the altar's here. If you need to come this morning, I pray you'd come. Would you just do